Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older. Podcast Network, part of Omaha Audio. Yeah, Cousin Sal coming to you Monday morning. Spaghetti and Meatballs fiddling with the knobs. Babyface Joel Solomon is producing this disaster of a show. And joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, a degenerate trifecta, Harry, brother Bride, Darren, the Pauly Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hi, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
Well, this might be un-American. Are we going to be, we're recording during USA Wales. They're actually doing the anthem right now, too, which is even more un-American than I'm yammering through it. But are we going to be labeled as communists for doing this, Pauly Kid? I've been called worse, so be it, if so. But I don't know. Do we stop down for an hour and a half? What do we do?
No, we just you know, there's a great chance there's going to be absolutely nothing that happens this whole time while we're watching and doing the podcast anyway. So we'll just move on. It's fine. Right. It's totally fine.
We'll check in for people who are going to listen to this after the game. So it'll matter even less. But, you know, if nothing happens, I'm good with that. I did bet US to advance, but I have over 4.5 games. Toby Mergler was on last week. He knows I like no fun in these games. And I bet over 4.5 0-0 games throughout the tournament. And it was looking good with Netherlands-Senegal 83 minutes in. And then someone decided to score and screw it up. I think they ended up scoring twice. So that was that. But that anyway, let's get to real football. Let's dive in. I know Harry had a tough one. Let's deep dive into the collectively crushed soul of the degenerate trifecta in a segment we hate to call Bet Aches.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bet ache. It's a bet ache. It's a bet ache.
All right, Harry, listen, I had Tennessee Volunteers who got thrashed, and that doesn't really qualify as a bet ache. But you, my friend, have a story to tell.
Yeah, look, you know, I'm just letting you know, going to Utah. There may not be television where I'm going to on Thanksgiving, so I might not even be able to watch the games on Thursday. Yeah, maybe. It's possible. It's just long story, but it may not be a TV. So after what happened this weekend to me, and I'm betting more than I usually do, and I can't catch one. I'm not betting this week. I'm not going to bet.
Hold on.
Games all over the place. I'm taking a week off after what happened to me this week.
No way you're doing that. It's ridiculous. You're going to a hockey game tomorrow night with Eddie Spaghetti and Babyface Joel Solomon. You're going to the Rangers Kings. You're not going to bet that. There's college football. There's Ohio State, Michigan, and some other big games. You're not going to bet those. The three Thanksgiving games. There's soccer all week long. You're not going to. Does anyone believe this? Pauly Kid, are you falling for this at all?
So it's possible he has absolutely $0 in his bank account right now. So, he might not be able to bet. I mean, that's the thing. It has nothing to do with him not wanting to bet.
Pretty close.
Not bet right now.
Pretty close.
Harry, how bad was it? What did you do? Tell us.
It all started on Saturday. First game right off the bat. Instead of taking the +2. Hey,
hold on. It all started when your parents were drunkenly working on scratch off lottery tickets when you were like 3 years old and you grabbed them. But God, yeah, I know what you're saying.
Dad's still into them. He loves those scratch offs. loves them. So it all started with on Saturday, I took Baylor. Instead of the +2, I take the money line. Loser. Rough. And listen, Michigan State, I lost a parlay paying $350. If anyone doesn't see the end of that Michigan State Indiana game, unbelievable. Michigan State missed Bryant. 3 kicks.
I think so.
from 30 yards in, missed 3 kicks, and I lose that game on the money. I was paying $350, but that's nothing. I had a 16 parlay on Sunday paying $1,943. USC money line and the over. Arkansas, Baylor actually with the 2.5, and I had over 63 in the Texas-Kansas game. All tied together to UNLV -430 on the money line against Hawaii. And they lose. And they
Wait
lose
a minute.
31-25. And I couldn't really.
Why did you hedge? You USC should just hedge. Wow. Oh, you should just hedge.
USC
Harry.
Wasn't in yet. And listen, believe me, I got more to the story, but I'm moving that along.
Okay.
And then you tack on yesterday, $125 parlay. You got to catch one of these once in a while. You can't lose them all. Kenya. I don't know. But
I think I wrote a book
parlay.
Like that. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. Yeah, someone should do that. Someone should write a book with that. Anyways, $1,100 in parlays pay. Eagles money line, lucky, but still a winner.
All right.
Buffalo money line, Baltimore money line, Bengals money line, all instead of taking the 5.5, all to the Chargers money line.
Interesting.
And you know what? Again, Kansas City never gets called for a penalty like that at the end of the game. They don't. Brian, listen.
What kind of penalty did you want them to get?
First off, the hold on James was very ticky-tacky. Come, you don't call that. Please, you don't. At that stage of the game, you don't call it when it's nothing like that. And Brian, again with Mahomes, right?
Well, I 100% thought that was grounding. It was 2nd and 4. It should have been like 3rd and 16 on the next play. There was nobody
when
around.
When he was rolling right? He
wasn't rolling right. He was just backpedaling and he threw it out of bounds. There was nobody within 10 yards of the ball.
Which when you, money line for 11, I could have got off it a few times and I didn't, but you don't call the grounding. Okay. And you don't call the grounding, whatever. You don't call the grounding. You do not call defensive holding on the next play when it's ticky-tack and it's 3rd and 4.
All right. We're going to get into this game in a minute. I would like to propose something here. All right, Harry, here's a bet that you could potentially win. I will bet you $75 that you bet this week. Straight up. I mean, I really should give odds that you bet. I mean, that's crazy odds. It should be like -5,000. Nah, I bet you $75. I've confused him. No idea what to do.
I'm betting anyways there. So,
He almost fell for it. No, aside from this bet, going forward after we make this bet, if you go clear from now until Sunday, I will give you $75.
Because I'm losing every one, so you'll win that bet too.
I see. Interest. Yeah. Now you've confused me. Yeah. I don't know.
I can't win a bet. Like, come on.
You can't win a bet.
After not calling grounding.
I don't think he understands the bet, but
I don't know if I do either. All right. Maybe we'll slow that down.
You got to keep the money low because I don't love it.
Right.
Yeah. If you get it too high, I want Harry to continue this losing streak.
Darren, I do too.
Am I wrong, Darren? About this, that ending in the Chargers? Am I wrong?
All right, well, listen, hold on 1 second. Let's just play the music and get out of bed aches, and then we'll go over all the games. Go ahead. Mikey Meatballs, play the fun music.
When a bet makes you stink, and you make the wrong pick, it's a bad ache. It's a bad ache. It's a bad ache.
All right, there you go. All right, so let's do this. Let's go over these games. We'll go over that first one, Sunday Night Football. Harry, you're calling holding. Brother Bri was throwing a fit. I'm very upset, even though he claimed to have had the points. The Chargers points. Because his fantasy game was tightening up. What do you care?
100%. 100% was the fantasy game. I'm used to it as a Raider fan. You know, we got that whole roughing the passer call against the Raiders in the Raiders Chiefs game the last time. They were pitching a fit for about 2 quarters. Then we had an equally a worse call in that game, and it just continues to. You know, I'm kind of sick of the. I like Mahomes. He's the best quarterback. I like him. Like, he's a good guy. But I just can't stand when you just see him. There's a flag on the field and you just see him pointing right away. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like he's walking forward, pointing. Like that just there's only so many times I can watch that.
Let's put a pin in this right now. Patrick Mahomes is the best, and you get what you deserve. You deserve what you get.
Yep.
If he's going to come down and win with 1:15 left, there were +178 the Chiefs on that before that last drive. And I'm like, oh, if I didn't already have enough on them, I would let it go. But he's terrific, Parley Kid. He doesn't even need Tyreek Hill when he goes up and down the field, and he's as clutch as you get, right?
Yeah, well, until teams figure out a way to even defend Kelce, I don't know how in these crunch time
that
can find himself so wide open.
No one don't have two guys on him. It's amazing.
Well, I mean, that you can't have a safety or a linebacker on him, right? You got to have like a defensive back on him. I don't see how any of those type of guys are covering him.
Two of his touchdowns off of all-pro Derwin James, right? Yeah. Two of his three touchdowns.
What I'm saying. I don't know if a safety like James can cover a tight end like Kelce. The guy is fantastic.
He's the best.
Probably the best ever. Mahomes is
MVP, right? MVP.
Yeah, Harry, why were you rooting against him? You picked him your long shot. Now, brother Brian, Parley Kid, I forgot who you took. I took Jameis. We had long shot MVP picks, like 40-1. And the truth is, only Geno Smith would have been in the running if anyone had said, and we would have laughed at you for saying it back in September. But yeah, I had Jameis. Brother Brian had Trevor Lawrence. Parley Kid, who did you have for long shot MVP?
You know, I can't recall. I really can't. I wish I could recall.
Probably not Geno Smith, though, right? But Harry had Kelsey.
Not Geno Smith.
Harry had Kelsey, and now rooting against him. So sad to see what's happened to you.
Well, he rooted against his Vikings too this weekend.
As a former football coach, knowing football, am I wrong what I said about the end of the game? I just want to hear what you said.
Like certain teams get certain calls at certain times.
I'll leave it. Fair. Andy Reid's teams always have.
But Harry, you also were lucky on 3rd and 18 to get a first down. Like I know that was it was legit and everything, but this wasn't a cinch of a game for the Chargers. All I'm saying is
you don't get the benefit of two calls late in the game like that one where it changed the game so drastically. You don't get both calls.
I'll be honest too. Look,
even on the road,
I was complaining about the grounding, which 100% is grounding on 3rd and 16. Look, there's probably a good chance they convert that against the Chargers because that's just the Chargers. And on 4th and 4, if they didn't call that, there's a good chance they probably convert that too. So,
yeah,
I mean, I'm realistic with that, but it, you know, I would like
I want that shot at 3rd and 16 though, Brian.
Yeah.
All right.
I want that chance.
You had your chance to hedge when they were down a score or whatever.
You could have hedged.
You guys ripped me for hedging.
The question is why Harry continues when he's got one team left in a parlay that's going to pay off big.
Yeah.
Why he continues to send it out to us.
Oh, he did it again, huh?
Say, hey, just need this one left. And it's every single time. It loses. It is incredible.
Well,
I didn't send you the Michigan State one.
We're just as dumb, Paula Kidd, for not betting against it, right? We have this information, this very valuable information. We don't bet against it. Like what? We're just as much the fault. Yeah.
Penny Maine said UNLV was winning those two games.
All right. There you go.
To get the bowl game finally.
Brian, I did say Mahomes, I think, was plus 150 last week to win MVP. I said that might be the last time you see a plus in front of him. And he's now minus 140. 2 of 5 to 1.
Yep.
Josh Allen plus 550 and Hurts plus 650. So I don't know, man. He's just going to put up these crazy numbers every week. Every week if he doesn't get hurt, and he's got the national exposure. I think they have like 4 more primetime games coming up. Like home against the Rams is not a primetime game, and yet all you're going to see is Patrick Mahomes highlights. He kind of deserves it.
Now, is it weird though? Great. I mean, I said this to our buddy Trev, like, how come it happened his first year, Mahomes, but we just have not seen. There should be games when you watch the Chiefs, they score when they want it. It seems like there should be games they win by 4 or 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, just, they have trouble covering the spread. It. Yeah, all That's the so time, weird. And especially at home. It is strange. So it weird. Is strange. Yeah. Hey, also strange, although I'll take it, that 40-3 waxing of the Cowboys over Harry's Vikings. Yeah, Parley Kid. Yes. Now, CBS jumped through hoops to get this game. And then they, you know, it was Nance and Romo, and then they cut away from it with 5:30 left in the third quarter. On a national broadcast, they cut away from it to go to a game that wasn't even that close either, the Steelers-Bengals. Yeah. So at least that's what it was here. Parley Kid, you got to be proud of this team. 40-3, back on track. Now, don't you dare blow it against the Giants is all I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, Sal, this is not surprising to me. I called exactly what was going to happen in this game.
40-3? Really?
Well, I'm not sure if I called 40-3, but I thought the Cowboys would win this game rather comfortably based on just the factors that were to be. And that's the worry again now for this week's game. Right now, the Cowboys are riding high. The Giants are coming off a loss. So it's like the situation has reversed itself, right?
Right.
Giants come on the road. Cowboys are at home. Kind of exactly the reverse of what just happened to the Cowboys. But, that was a kind of a statement game for the Cowboys. They can control a lot right now. I told you, Sal, I said last week, you were a little down after the loss. I said, Sal, don't worry. They're still going to finish 12-5. I think they're at least getting to that now, Sal.
I like that. I mean, obviously, look, we sacked Cousins 7 times. I mean, the strip sack early on to really set the wheels in motion there. They were 1 for 11 on third down. The Vikings were. Pollard ran great. 80 run. I mean, really just gliding and like after contact too, like not even like, you know, just can't just say, oh, listen, he's a change of pace back who like does well. No, he's like breaking tackles and stuff at two touchdowns.
Thanks for him, by the way, Sal. Thanks for that.
Well, yeah. I'm surprised you started him against your beloved team. I really
I can't
am.
Believe
well,
it.
Listen, can I say this?
The
game yesterday between Minnesota and Dallas couldn't have worked out. Hear me out here. Couldn't have worked out any better for Minnesota.
Let me hear it. Why? Everyone's calling them the worst 8-2 team of all time. They have a negative point differential.
That's perfect. That's
perfect if you're good. If you're not good.
Let them continue to have people think that they're a pretender. Listen, okay. They were coming off back-to-back emotional double-digit road games where they pulled them out. They had nothing left in the tank here. They didn't show anything. They didn't do anything in terms of hurting getting any injuries, and let everyone think that they're still a crappy team that happens to be 8-2, and then surprise in the playoffs. I'm wearing my I'm wearing my purple today. I'm proud.
Yeah, well, you're black and blue from your bets this week, so I can see that. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, Harry, it doesn't matter what everyone thinks. They have to actually then go on the field and do well. And I don't know, this team that was down 27-10.
That was two.
All right. Okay. I'm happy we didn't give up 200 yards rushing to the Dalvin Cook parlay kid. And I don't know, Micah, now minus 350 for defensive player of the year at 36% pressure rate, which is just insane in the NFL. So good job by the Cowboys. Keep it going. Now a 9-point favorite against the Giants. It opened at 7 on Thursday.
A lot of injuries for the Giants.
Well, and I want to talk to Spaghetti, who jumped on me about that too. But first of all, real quick, why is Dak in the game? I can't fault McCarthy too much about a lot, but why is he in the game in the fourth quarter with like 4 minutes left in a 37-point game, and he has to play Thursday? Like that, we just do stupid things.
I was saying the same thing on both sides of the ball. All those guys should have been out. Sometimes, Sal, it's performance bonuses that they get at the end of the season, maybe, and the coaches are. You know, they're sensitive to that. They don't want to hurt their players when they can maybe get an extra 100 yards passing or something, right?
I guess. I don't like the Thursday thing, though.
No,
do that week 18 or something if you want.
Guys healthy. And I don't want to hear about the Giants and injuries. You know, the Dallas didn't have their quarterback.
That's right, Spaghetti. That's what I was going to tell you.
Cannot complain about that. Please.
Cooper Rush has a better winning percentage than Dak.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, Dak. Yeah, this is the day to go after Dak. This is a good day to go after him.
Right, that's right.
You don't watch football.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Exactly. What you're going to go after him today?
Winning percentage. You know what that's based on, right? Smaller sample size. I don't have to explain. All right, Spaghetti, defend yourself. Your Giants got beat up. I didn't really think Lions controlled that game. I didn't see a lot of it, but Lions now on a 3-game winning streak heading into Thanksgiving. What happened, Spaghetti?
Well, it is the injuries. I mean, I totally disagree. I vehemently disagree with Parley Kidd on the
injuries. I thought it was the refs. You're complaining about the refs. It's the injuries?
Minus three later, I will complain about the refs early on in that game.
Adoree Jackson's gone for 4 weeks. That's huge.
I think he knows.
I mean, nothing I hate more than a referee crew who feels the need to get involved in every drive of the game. Like, just got to throw one flag in per drive, just let you know they're there. But it didn't matter. The second half, I mean, the Giants were depleted and the Lions did control the game. But they're the most injured team in the NFL since 2009. And they're kind of leading the charge on this turf thing. I'm not sure entirely how much it is with the turf, but more so with the training staff, the strength and conditioning staff. Why are these players week in, week out getting hurt? Dable using Adoree Jackson as a punt returner is just, it's absurd. It's one of the worst coaching decisions that's been made in the NFL in quite some time. Your star cornerback to put him returning punts and he just fair catches it. And then the one he doesn't do that, he sprains an MCL. Losing your right tackle, losing your center, losing your tight end, losing multiple receivers, losing your safety, losing your top cornerback, losing linebackers, losing your edge rusher across from Thibodeau. I mean, the Giants have no one left. So a lot of pressure. This is the curse of Sposa, as Dave says. A lot of pressure on the Cowboys to make sure they win this game. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, you should know because you did, as Parley Kidd points out, face a backup and lost. So, when we played the first time. But, I would stick to the injury part. Penalties, I think you had 18 more penalty yards than the Lions. So, but I do want to read something. Cousin Sal against all odds at gmail.com. Someone emailed us. Cousin Sal against all odds, gmail.com. Eddie Spaghetti, sixth grade humor is the subject. Dear Cousin Sal and Degenerate Trifecta, big fan ever since the Sportsish Guy days. As an educator in elementary school, we get the week off for Thanksgiving. I thought it would I would have a break from sixth grade humor for a week. But to my surprise, man-child Eddie Spaghetti changed all that. Cowgirls. Cowgirls is such an old, tired joke. Maybe Eddie's brain is all mush because he's prepping all the food he has to cook. Who knows? Maybe he could hire some writers to write better jokes for him. Have a great Thanksgiving, and thank you for all the laughs and jokes. Oh, all the best, man. Miguel. Yeah, wow. Eddie tweeted it'd be a real shame to lose to the 98% injured Giants roster. A lot of pressure on the Cowgirls. Do you want to respond, Eddie?
My joke worked. I got under his skin. This guy literally had to find our email and sent you a well-written email because of just the tweet that I fired off. It took me all of 3 seconds of brain power to think of. So 1 point Eddie, 0 points to whoever wrote that email. And I went
Miguel.
Again.
That's Miguel. All right.
Yeah, wow. Miguel's
all
right. Losing.
That's the first time someone's written something bad other than against me. First time.
No, it is. No, I get a lot of negative Eddie stuff. I just have to save it. I know it gets him upset. So it's interesting. Jamal Williams on Caesars was 300-1 to lead in touchdown runs.
Wow,
he now has 12.
Oh, my gosh.
And I actually think he can keep it going. I think he can keep it going.
Oh, yeah, he definitely can.
It's only a few weeks left, right?
Detroit should probably really have like three more wins. They lost a lot of rough games. They're pretty good right now.
Yeah, they're not bad. They're a scary team. I'll say that. Patriots, not a scary team. Jets, also not a scary team. Pats win their 14th in a row over the Jets. And our friend Alec was right when he said, I feel like this game I'm watching on loop.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was no offense at all. They won 10-3 because there was a Marcus Jones, M.A. Jones, not the M.A. Jones that they everybody loved last year, returned an 84-yard punt, touchdown, little block in the back at the end. But I guess it wouldn't have mattered, right? Because they would have done it from the spot and they would have kicked the field goal. Although that guy couldn't kick. He can't kick in the cold. So is this it, Parlay Kid, for Zach Wilson? I mean, he has a chance. Asked after the game, like, did you let the defense down? He's like, no. I'll do this. I'll keep doing this. That's not good, right?
That was his biggest mistake of the day, really. Like, that, to me... You had one of the Jets special teams players was really upset at the end of the game. I caught him in an interview. I forget his name, but even he was taking responsibility for the return. And then, you know, you get your quarterback who, I guess, he was trying to play it calm and cool, but it just didn't come off the right way.
Right.
Probably a big mistake on his part. I actually like the kid. I proposed a trade yesterday. At the end, I don't know really in terms of the contracts that these guys have, but Wilson and a first for Carr to the Raiders.
Oh, wow.
The Raiders with the first for Carr to the Jets right now. I know it'd be hard, but man, the Jets really, they're well put together.
Yeah.
Wilson is holding them back. I hate to say it because I like the kid, but he is holding them back.
No, I think you're right. And Mike White is going to come in there. I don't think he's the solution, but I do think they're going to move on from Zach Wilson now. And I've heard Jimmy G maybe to the Jets. I've heard this Carr thing. Simmons was squawking about Carr to the Jets. What would you think of that, Bri? You'd have to root for the Jets.
Look, the thing is with Carr, that's all right. The thing with Carr is, look, it's a question. The Raiders can get out of his contract, right? Otherwise, if they still have him after... They can basically get out of the contract with no additional money. And instead of paying them $45 million, if you're not going to be good, that might be and you have a top pick.
Right.
That might be the right decision. I mean, look, I would like to see him on a team that's already put together. That's good. Just to see if it is him or not him. I mean, it's probably, again, it's very similar case to Stafford. Mm-hmm. I feel like with Carr, but yeah, I mean, that would be a good fit. The Jets, although, yeah, I will say, look, I like Zach Wilson coming out of college. I thought he was really good watching with BYU. Maybe he just does not have the right mental makeup for New York. Again, his comments in the post game were so bad. And look, I will give him a little bit of a pass because, look, anybody who played outside, I mean, between the Baltimore game and that game, I know Mac Jones was completing short yard passes. The way the Jets were running that offense yesterday, yes, he was throwing the ball into the ground or over receivers.
Bad weather everywhere, yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, look, you could see what happened when the kickers tried to kick the ball.
That's why it was nice, Bri, to see Mahomes thrive like that. It's like, oh, finally, we're going to see a nice pass and catch situation here in the NFL.
Right. There's only certain receivers in that weather. There's certain receivers that could throw the ball downfield, right? Allen and Mahomes, those guys are. It really doesn't matter. But again, Wilson made a mistake with that. But again, you also can't necessarily move on yet because, look, people the first year were bashing the Eagles with Hurts. People were still bashing Tua as of last year, right? I mean, so there are things that can change.
Maybe I think you're less than 50-50 with the draft. That's why I think they're going to end up with 9 wins, so they might not get Stroud or Levis or Hendon Hooker or so Bryce Young. So I don't know. And now I'm looking at their schedule: home against the Bears. I'm gonna at the Vikings. That's a win. No, at the Bills, home against the Lions, home against the Jags, at the Seahawks. They could get 2 or 3 more wins with Mike White or somebody at quarterback. But to make the playoffs, the no is -154. I kind of like that. Whereas New England's yes is +106. Now, maybe they both don't make it. But boy, Jets no really looks good right now.
And New England has tiebreaker over them too now. Too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Jets, though, aren't in the market. They're not going to draft a quarterback. There's this team isn't going to draft a quarterback. No, I don't see that. Like, they're going to go out and get a free agent quarterback. I mean, I can't see them going back to the draft. They'd have to get a free agent.
So it's probably one of the two we mentioned, right? Jimmy G or Derek Carr.
I think those guys clear that look, up. You know what? I'm going to call it now.
Carr would be fun
playing for the Jets next year.
Tom Brady. No, no.
Yes.
No, the
Brady would. Why not?
I don't know. I think he's done with the cold weather.
Cold in New York.
I'm not sure if he comes back to that.
Phenomenal. Doesn't matter where he plays. The guy can handle it. Marketing his brand in New York.
Listen, he did went to very,
Tampa not to be cold.
No, but more than that, he went to Tampa because he knew he could win the division. There could be four playoff teams in the AFC East. Yeah, and the Dolphins.
Don't be shocked. He could be in the mix, though. He could be in the mix.
I think he would have gone to the Dolphins if he wanted to play in that division. I think they would have figured it out somehow. But all right, so that boy, I was excited, Parley Kid. Looked like Jalen Hurts and the Eagles were going to lose. They won 17-16. Jeff Saturday's Colts. They were tough. They almost pulled off the upset, but Hurts, what was it? Like a 75-yard game-winning drive and 84 yards rushing. That just sucked. I was like, oh my God, we're going to gain. And we haven't even played yet. But I was like, can you imagine the Eagles? We were close to having them lose 2 games in 6 days. Mm.
Yeah. You saw that coming, right? Like that. You just felt like you knew what was going to happen in that game.
They fumbled it. The Colts could have put it away. Like
they could have. Taylor fumbled, right? What was it, Taylor? Yeah.
Well, but then the Eagles had fumbled too, right? Am I going crazy? I thought Taylor fumbled it back.
Taylor had the big fumble for the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, there's something I know that, look, that you don't see these like Hail Marys ever work anymore, but the last play of that game, like, didn't Ryan just throw it into the ground or something?
He dumped it off to the running back.
Like,
I was saying,
or two ran out of bounds.
Right. The game was over. It was so frustrating, Sal. Look, Eagles are a good team. You know what, though? No one's going to come back to get the Eagles, Sal.
Mm.
Their coach. Their coach is becoming so unlikable to people.
Well, because I bet him last week for Coach of the Year. That's probably why he's going to go down.
Maybe. Yeah. But teams are going to be extra motivated to beat this guy. They really are going to be extra motivated to beat this guy. Since you could just see it happening.
Yeah, I was yelling at the stands and everything. Back to your point with Matt Ryan just throwing it away at the, I feel like quarterbacks are worse than ever.
We talked about this.
At knowing when to take a sack or when not. Like Russell Wilson should have taken a sack yesterday, and that would have run the clock in that Denver Raiders game. Now, because you can kick a field goal from 75 yards, the Raiders didn't have to drive the field, but still, they would have had like 40 seconds left instead of like a minute and 20. Yeah. It might have made a difference if that Raiders offense is rushing in this, rushing to get things done. It may not come to fruition. On the other side, guys on 4th and 12 stepping out of bounds. Mariota, Matt Ryan, guys have been in the league forever, not knowing when they need to just check.
Herbert did it a couple times last night.
Parley Kid, you would be better at that than most teams. I remember you, you would be able to throw it the downfield and hope for a pass interference. Like, stepping out of bounds doesn't help at all.
Here's the thing, Sal. Remember, it's kind of like an NBA player not putting up a half court shot with a second left in the first quarter.
Is it really stats?
Yeah. It's going to go on his field goal percentage. I think for some of these quarterbacks, you throw one up, there's a better chance of it probably being picked than getting caught on your side.
I guess
these guys don't want an interception on their stats. I'm just
Before the half, I understand, but if it's your last chance to win the game, like,
but it's, you know, it's also the opposite what you're talking about in the Russell Wilson situation, where he should just take the sack there,
right? Yeah,
instead of throwing an incompletion,
right?
Basically, in essence, you know, teams save timeouts. You're giving a team an extra timeout, basically, in that situation, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it's the decision making and the overall quarterback play probably has been down this year.
Very strange. Buffalo traveled to Detroit, beat the Browns 31-23. The fans shoveled the players out. There's a Peter King, there's a whole article today section about this guy named Squirrel plowed Josh Allen's driveway, which was like a quarter of a mile long. And he got in there with the giant plow. The smaller ones wouldn't do it. And he did it, and they got the team out. I actually feel like a jerk for saying that. I was on the bandwagon. Like, let them play. Come on. Then you look at what happens. Like, oh, God, there'll be no fans at this game. There'd be 14 yards gained for both sides. This would suck. Yeah. It wouldn't even be Singletary versus Chubb. It would suck. So I'm glad it was actually a playable game. And the Bills look good, Bri. They came back, and they were down. And I feel like they turned their season around with that win, believe it or not.
Well, it was weird. Yeah. I mean, the way they ended up that game, I mean, they struggled early on. It was nerve-wracking because I had the Bills tied to like 8 different teasers and parlays. And they struggled early, and Browns were converting on some big, like long yardage, like third and longs and second and longs. Although I wasn't happy at the end that the Browns got that kind of backdoor push on us.
Yeah, right.
I felt like there was no way they they should have been.
Could have had some people had some people at 8.5.
Yeah. I think on our graph was our picks 8. Oh no, it was 9. Yeah, that was 8. The push.
Eight on the graphic.
Yeah. Aaron, I'll tell you, in that game, the guy we talked about, maybe not so much this year, but last year, Singletary ran really well yesterday. Strong runs.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been actually decent lately.
Yeah.
If you look at his last 4 games. And the kicking game came through. Tyler Bass had 100 fantasy points for you if you had 6 field goals. But one thing I noticed, I don't know if you saw Diggs talking to McDermott on the sideline for what seemed like the entire second quarter. So, and then shortly after, he was phenomenal. And Josh Allen, it took him a minute to get going. But anyway, I would still like to see a game in the snow. You know, we're moving these games to Germany and everything. Let's get one Christmas Day in the North Pole. Actual travel to the North Pole. I don't even think, I don't even think people live there. No, nobody lives there. Anyway, I hope that no youngsters are listening. Anyway, so I'm full of great ideas. Just ask me. So what else do we want to do? All right, so we did. Commanders dominate the Texans 23-10. They're 6-5. Plus 158, Harry, to make the playoffs, the Commanders. At this point, I think it's
Commanders.
I think it's Washington. It's Washington versus Seattle at this point for that last spot.
Right?
Who else could it be?
Well, the Giants. Are we considering the Giants to be a playoff team?
I guess I am.
Yeah, I am.
That Washington defense has been stout, and Heinicke wins games.
Well,
he does.
He does win, but that I have to say, that's the perfect matchup for them after an emotional win Monday night, right? One that I picked, the Commanders over the Eagles. You would think that they would go on the road and lay an egg, but against this Houston team that had like 5 yards of offense, not like 5 yards of offense in the first half, and we're down 20-0. And Heinicke's 4-1 since I wouldn't want to play them. They're a pain in the ass, that team. Yeah, that's rough. So I don't know if all the NFC East teams make the playoffs, but it really could come down to Washington versus Seattle or Washington versus San Francisco or the Giants versus San Francisco, somewhere in there. Falcons beat the Bears 27-24. They're 5-6, still alive in the South. You know, Mariota, I get on Simmons. He hates his quarterback. Mariota puts up 13-for-20, 131 yards, and wins games. It's just it's just a weird year. Is Fields, Parley, could you hear anything about his shoulder?
I have not. I haven't looked into it. But hits hit for brother Brian and I in our EP picks again yesterday. I have him over in yards. Brian has him over to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
Guy is getting it done. And he's certainly, look, he's got to learn how to win some games now. But, I mean, Harry literally, I think Bum might have been kind. To what Harry said about him earlier in the season.
Jeez, Harry.
Totally wrong about him. Totally.
Harry, you care to comment? Well, I mean, I looked at his last six games rushing are better than anyone you would imagine. Randall Cunningham, Michael Vitt, like they stacked them up. I saw an article where it's he's
should have had two picks yesterday. But aside from having the two picks that were dropped,
every quarterback. Aside from that,
he's been great running the ball. He keeps this Bears team around. Bears are not as bad as that. We thought they were going to be really awful this year.
I know.
Not as bad as we thought.
No, for sure. Yeah. And they played the Jets. And it's like the Jets are a considerable 3.5-point favorite with probably Mike White. I was like, damn, that seems wrong, Bri, right? I don't know. Sometimes you get excited about the exciting teams and they don't necessarily win, which is the case with the Bears.
But the Bears are just blown, you know. I mean, Fields did a great job of probably winning these last two games for them and they kind of blew it for them.
Yeah.
The problem with Fields right now is I think they were saying with his left shoulder, like I think he could probably play through that. It's probably just, you know, it's a sprain that he probably has some of discomfort with. But what was the problem yesterday late in the game? Like he was doing a great job moving in the pocket, but you could tell he just didn't want to run. So something with his hamstring or something was going on in that game. So I'd be more worried about that, especially, well, personally, I'm worried because
I got him on a team too somehow. Saints beat the Rams 27-20. The Rams are done. That's it. Stafford then evaluated for a concussion in the third quarter. They have to shut him down, Parley Kid, at this point, right? And who is it? Perkins is going to take over. Very bad title defense. I was trying to figure out if there's been a worse one.
Do they even have a first round pick this year, Sal?
No, they Rams, don't.
They don't we have a second round pick either, right?
Nope. It finally caught up to them. So I'm not sure what they're going to do, but probably worth it. I think they
won a Super Bowl. Definitely worth it.
I know.
Definitely
worth it. Hang out, fans who aren't showing up to the games anyway. It's gonna be a few years before you get it going. Yeah. Dalton somehow 21 for 25, 260 and three touchdowns.
Can I ask how this didn't make one of Harry's bet aches? It should have.
How so? Yeah. Which one?
My sharp tank was Bears Atlanta game to go over 42, which it did with. Rams Saints to go under 46 on the tee. So we're at 44. Rams are down 10. Mm-hmm. With 10 seconds to go, we'll kick a 35-yard field goal to make it down 7.
I forgot about that.
And I lose the
I forgot about that. 47. By the way, speaking of sharp tank picks, I feel like I should have won, even though the Derek Lewis fight was canceled. I said that fight would not last 5 rounds. Mm-hmm. And it didn't. It didn't. I want to cash on that. Bri, maybe you have a little tougher time cashing on the second round finish.
I agree. Yours should be good.
Yeah, it didn't go 5 rounds. That's all I said. Didn't go any rounds. All right, Ravens go to 7-3. What a boring game. Boring Ravens performance. I was saying it's like opposite of what it was last year and years past where Tucker bails them out in the end. Now Tucker's like doing all the scoring the first three quarters and then like something will happen. You know, they'll get it going the fourth quarter.
Not flashy, that's for sure.
Baker picked twice in the fourth quarter. Lamar, 24 for 33, 209. He had a one-yard run for a touchdown. But they did enough to win, Harry. Yeah, you didn't like it, 13-3.
Oh, I mean.
Underdog cover, double-digit underdog covers again. So we're looking at that tonight. We'll get to that in a second. So, and then, Bri, congratulations, man. You're Raiders. 22-16 in overtime. I'm in love with this stat that the Broncos would be 10-1 if they scored 18 points in regulation. Only 18 points and they would have been 10-1. But McDaniel's greater than Nathaniel, I guess, is all we have to learn from this, right?
Man, he sucks. Yeah. That's the thing. I took the Raiders in this game. They're the one of the few teams. Mm-hmm. That I feel confident when the Raiders play. You know, the Broncos just, the Raiders have had their number here for a little bit recently. It's the same like when the Raiders, when the Raiders play anybody in the division, it's been pretty close. Even the even the Chiefs in some of those games. But I'll be honest, I didn't even want to win that game yesterday.
I know you didn't. I know you didn't.
But Austin Adams are taking me to the playoffs in fantasy.
But that's the mix, though, right? It's like, oh, man, you see that connection in overtime. Like, oh, what could have been? Like, of course you want the higher draft pick that they're going to screw up anyway. Well,
I mean, that's how bad Denver is. I'll be honest. That's how bad Denver comes out early, scores. Yeah. That's how bad they are offensively, considering the Raiders' defense. Again, Max Crosby, just phenomenal outside of Parsons. And
what did he do? He blocked a kick. He forced a fumble and sacked Russell like three.
I mean,
minutes.
If you watch him every play, it is phenomenal what he does. Again, only Parsons and Watt are the only two other guys that can do what he does and more. You know, that's it. But he's been phenomenal. But the rest of the defense is awful. So the fact that Denver couldn't score any more points is just pathetic.
Speaking of Watt, TJ Watt, Steelers defense did not step up. I agree with Damashek here. People are all over Kenny Pickett, and it was actually George Pickens dropped a couple of balls. He is feast or famine. He really is. That guy's fun to watch. I can't get a hold of the Steelers are. I feel like they could be goodish, Parley Kid. I really do. I watched them. They lost 37-30 to the Bengals, although the Bengals are the only team they scored more than 20 points against twice now, 23 and 30. But Bengals look good. You just never know if the 7 sacks they're going to allow is going to get in the way of them winning, right?
Yeah. You know what? Burrow is so good. I know we talked about this last year, but Burrow is... I know because there's those few elite guys like, you know, like Mahomes. But Burrow might be as good as anybody else in the league.
You're right, D.
He really might be as good as Allen and the rest. If we want to put Mahomes as the top, and then there's another group right below it, I'd put Burrow in that group. He is so good and he's very savvy. And because he's getting hit more than most quarterbacks. He runs when he has to. He makes plays with his feet. He could throw to the left, throw to the right, throw deep, throw short. He does everything. He's so good.
And no Mixon for the most part, and no Jamar Chase, obviously, for the whole game.
Yeah.
So
Still put up 350.
Still
right?
37 points so against good. Against the Steelers team that usually gives them fits. All right, I think that's all of them. We went through them. Let's hit the Monday night football game tonight, and first of all, check the USA. You guys are not going to believe this. 35th minute, no score.
I told him
no score. I'm not going to believe this. Are you sitting down? I should have told you to sit down.
What was the clean sheet for both? What was 0-0 for this game?
Was it 0-0? Was it four something?
I don't know.
470, I thought it was 470.
That sounds right. I mean, I bet the draw 2-1. So.
Get this one, Sal. Get this one.
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to pay attention until 90 plus 3 before I count it as a win.
Oh!
Oh, did we score?
Oh!
We scored?
Shut we up. Did it! USA!
USA!
There we go. There we go! Fine, baby. I got it before all of you again.
Wait till we live bet these this weekend. Hey,
tell me who scored.
USA scored, right? USA scored.
Yeah, this is a nice goal, actually. And of course, it's because Harry jinxed it. He's like, get the 0-0. As soon as it's out of his mouth, they score. All right, I'll take it.
Exactly.
True. Yeah.
Really? This is a great trial. Now, I can't tell if he's offsides. It looks, I feel like
looks good, they're going to take a look looks at this. Good, yeah. Right?
I think they're going to give it. All right. So that's good. All right. Listen, you want a point going into that England match. So a win would be even better. All right, let's take a break. Monday Night Football, U.S. on the board.
Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CZRFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer: free stays, game tickets, experiences, and more.
You must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio and Utah and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingMDGamblingHelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net, Arizona. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas. Call 1-800-522-4700, Indiana. Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT, Iowa. Call 1-800-BETS-OFF, Louisiana. Call 1-877-770-STOP, Michigan. Call 1-800-270-7117, New York. Call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Or text CONNEX to 247-247, Tennessee. Call or text Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Niners at Arizona. Technically, it's in Mexico City, Estadio Azteca, 7,000, over 7,000 feet above sea level. I didn't realize that. So that's going to be a problem potentially. But another problem, no Kyler Murray. This one went from 8.5 to 10. I think it was pretty clear he wasn't going to play. Now it's actually not even official, I don't think. But as official as it gets for 11:30 Pacific time. On a Monday, that Kyler Murray's not going to play. It's going to be Colt McCoy. That's why it went from 8.5 to 10. So what do we think of this game? I'll tell you what, I'm taking San Francisco. I know McCoy beat them last year, right, Harry? 31-17. Yeah. He went in there. It was like the middle of the year. I'm still taking a double-digit favorite, which I know is stupid. Double-digit underdogs are 7-1 against the spread since week 7 and 10-5 against the number this season, but this could be a disaster for McCoy. He's down a couple of linemen. DJ Humphries is the latest casualty. It's a stealthy and healthy front seven for the 49ers. Yeah. Arizona, on the other side, allowed 30 points a game versus top 15 offenses, basically the top half of the league. 49ers 15-4 their last 19 Monday Night Football games and 5-0 against the spread in the last five versus the NFC West. I think it's an ugly game. I see 31-13. Parlay kid, you're going 49ers as well.
Yeah, I'm on you with this. You have the 49ers on your graphic pick too. I was thinking about
hedging. I think I do.
And maybe taking the cards and I have them each. But no, Sal, you're exactly right. Look, as a Cowboys fan, is there any team in the NFC that scares you more than the 49ers? Like, seriously.
I don't like that they control the ball and they don't have to make too many. Like, Jimmy G doesn't have to make too many big plays.
Right. They are a super physical team on both sides of the ball. On defense, they come at you. On offense, they come at you. And I don't think the Cards here have the personnel right now to match up with the 49ers. I think the 49ers are just a much better team at this point of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the time of the season where the better teams start showing their mettle, Sal. I am rolling with you here with the 49ers to win pretty big.
They talk about the elevation and everything, and this might have been a problem for the 49ers defenders scrambling around trying to catch Kyler Murray. Not as much of a task against Colt McCoy. Sure. Brother Bry, you had, and Paula Kidd, you did have the 49ers on the graphic. Brother Bry, you have the Cardinals, and you're sticking with it. You get a couple extra points than you thought.
Get a couple extra points, and this week I'm very good on my picks again for EP. I think 9-2-1 so far.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
That was like 7-4.
I think you only got me by a game so far this week, though.
No.
You were worse this week, weren't you? I think you were 7.
I'll count him out.
I had 7.
Go ahead, Brian. I think I'm going to count. Yeah, go ahead.
But yeah, look, I love the 10 points here. I thought the 8 points seemed right when Murray, like if Murray wasn't playing originally. Mm-hmm. I'm loving that you're getting 2 more points here. And sure, they typically suck at home, but again, way, way, way too high. McCoy had a gutsy performance last week. I know they played Walford, but you know, I thought McCoy really managed that game well. And it's the same reason I didn't like the 49ers last week. You know, throw out those Rams games. Uh-huh. And this team, you know, again, I was complaining about, like, I was saying this about the Chiefs. There's times this team just doesn't, they either get off slow or they just don't put teams away. Uh-huh. They keep teams in games. So I'll happily, on the road, and like you said, that stat before, 7-1 for underdogs here, but
yeah,
I'll happily take, you know, considering they played well last game, 10 points at home, definitely. And again, McCoy, you know, he should be able, he can manage this game. And you don't, I would never trust Jimmy G in a blowout here.
Yeah.
With the odds.
Not really at home, but I know what you say. Yeah. They're both on the road. Yeah. It's in Mexico. It's an international flair for all the sports this week.
True.
All right. Harry, you like the over. I have a 31-13, which puts it bare. That's a sissy pick by me, 31-13, because that lands right on the number 43.5. What do you like, the over?
Yeah, I like the over. You mentioned feet above sea level, over 7,000. it might be really winded late in the third, depending on how the game's going. Arizona's defense, soft south, ranks 30th in the NFL in points allowed. They just don't get a lot of pressure on the quarterbacks. It's perfect for Jimmy G and the San Fran offense. And Arizona, actually, though, on the road this year, they have scored 26 or more in 4 of their 5 games. Let's go over 43.
Well, that's not fair either, saying they're on the road. Bryce says they're home. You say they're on the road. This is crazy. What we take. All right.
1,500 miles away from home.
I will. I'll say, all right, I'll off of your thing where Arizona doesn't get a rush. Jimmy G, longest completion, over 36.5. That's my prop. I hit this with Heinicke and Tannehill in the last couple of night games. I'm going for the hat trick here. He had a 56-yard completion a couple weeks ago versus the Rams. Otherwise, he is around this number, 33, 34. But the Cardinals defense, as well as they did against John Wolford, there are cracks. As you mentioned, Harry, 30th in the league. Against New Orleans a couple weeks back, Dalton connected on 3 passes over 40 yards. And Arizona also worst in the league versus tight ends. Bry's going to jump on this in a second. I think there's going to be a 37-yarder to an old favorite, George Kittle. Remember him when he was in the league? The Mexico City crowd is in a frenzy. Give me longest completion, over 36.5 for Jimmy G. Bry, you do like Kittle to tear up this defense.
I mean, when you talk about the crowd, I mean, how many, what do you, do you think it's going to be 75%? I mean, or 90% San Francisco, I guess. I mean, it's like when
Ken's going to this game, right, Harry? And then the Rangers tomorrow, right?
No? No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right.
Rangers
tomorrow.
I like you're saying, Sal, I love Kittle in the over 41.5 here. It's -119. The Cardinals have been by far the worst team in the league against tight ends. They're giving up almost 900 yards receiving to tight ends, which is a crazy amount of yards. I mean, Higbee last week had 73. Font the week before had 96 against them. And, you know, the thing is, Kittle, look, I have Kittle as one of my fantasy tight ends. He's a frustrating player because sometimes just the production's not there. He does other things that help you win, but only one catch last week. I think Shanahan will look to exploit the matchups here. I think he does have one big play, but I could see him getting like 70, 80 yards in this game. So I'm going way over 41.5.
There you go. All right. Parlay Kid, Brandon Ayuk, over 4.5 receptions.
Yeah, you know, Ayuk is finally living up to his potential, right? As of late, over this number in about 4 straight games now, where he's gone over the 4.5 catches. And I'm still getting a plus number here, a +110 for him to go over it. So, you know, the Cardinals secondary has not been great at all this year. Ayuk has been getting better and better by the week. At +110, I like the over 4.5 receptions.
All right. And Harry, McCaffrey, over, I think he's done well with this last couple of weeks, right? Over 104.5 rushing and receiving?
Yeah, at -106. Arizona's allowed a rusher to go over that number 6 times already this season. McCaffrey did have over that number versus Arizona earlier season when he was still in Carolina. Four of his, like you said, Sam, four of his last six games, 50 plus passing yards in the game. Defenses should be tired, especially Arizona's, due to this altitude, like we mentioned. McCaffrey will get plenty of touches versus Arizona's, actually 23rd versus the run and 23rd versus the pass this year. Over 104 and a half rushing yards combined.
And that is a very low as we go into the first touchdown score part of this. This is where you could really fast forward about 3 minutes here. We'll listen to Harry's pick because he's had a few of these. Boy, Christian McCaffrey plus 275. That's pretty damn low. There's Debo plus 550. Brandon Ayuk plus 575. James Conner also plus 575. I'm going Ayuk here. I had him at plus 650. It already went down. Did they just lower these numbers while nobody's looking at some point? Pretty much. I think that's what happens. So there you go. 14 red zone targets for Ayuk. He leads the team. Seems to score every other game. He has three in the last four games and three touchdowns the last four, including first touchdown against the Rams and the team's first touchdown versus the Falcons. He also scored the first touchdown in the game against the Broncos in a game where I think we were lucky to see a touchdown at all. So give me Ayuk at, I don't know, plus 575. Get it down before they lower it to even. Ayuk first touchdown. Parley kid, what do you got?
Yeah, Sal, you know, this is where I'm taking Mitchell at 10 to 1. And it might be the first time where on a competing book, I saw him at plus 750. So, at 10 to 1, I think I'm getting pretty good odds here.
Right.
With Mitchell. So, we know, look, this is what can happen, right? Kind of like Pollard doing a lot of the work yesterday, but then giving Zeke some of those goal line touches.
Well, this is like Thursday, right? I had Henry, and Hilliard got the first touchdown, right?
And I could and Mitchell still had 18 carries in his last game.
Yep. Right.
So I could see, you know, where McCaffrey's doing a lot of that work to get the ball down the field.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, let's throw Mitchell a bone here and get him in the end zone. So at 10 to 1, I think, finally, I'm getting some decent value here.
All right. Brother Bryce, he's it even a different way. Another running back, the fullback. This is a fun one. 20 to 1, is that, or did this change?
It went to 19. Yeah, see, they changed it again.
Forget this.
Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah.
I've liked him before. Mm-hmm. Look, he only has one touchdown season that's rushing, but he's still a very important piece of the receiving game here for them. He has seven catches over his last two games. I think he's had, I don't know, five games where he's had about 25 yards or more receiving. You know, this kind of goes to the Hilliard touchdown the other day. It's been a weird year with tight ends or backup tight ends or H-back position scoring. Yeah. So I'm going to take a little bit of a long shot here with Juszczyk at 19-1.
All right, Harry, this is what, Rondell Moore or Rob Moore, Syracuse, Hempstead? Rondell Moore, 8-1.
He was good. Rondell Moore, 8-1. He only has one touchdown this year, but he has been an integral part of the offense the last three games for the Cards. Mm-hmm. He's had at least seven receptions in all three of those and a total of 31 targets in those three games. Take a shot with Moore at 8-1.
There you go. All right. USA still up 1-0, 48 minutes in. Let's take another quick break and then we'll talk college and wrap it up.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, boy. The top five teams looked like dog crap in the college football. Actually, it looked like the top three were headed that way for the NFL too, with the Ravens and the the Bills off to a slow start. But anyway, Michigan rallies to beat Illinois 19-17. TCU beats Baylor on a runoff field goal as time expires. Those two teams happen within 10 minutes. Yes. Our friend Brad was going nuts because before that, it was looking great for his Tennessee Vols to get in the playoffs, and then they lose. They get crushed 63-38. Hooker, season-ending ACL injury. He's done for the Heisman. That stinks.
Georgia need Harry touches.
That's it. That's exactly right. It was a nice run for a minute, Harry. Georgia needed the fourth quarter to take care of Kentucky. Ohio State struggled with Maryland. That was it. And so now let's do the playoff race now. Georgia's favorite to win -130, Ohio State +210, Michigan 8-1, TCU 16-1. I don't think it matters, but let's keep talking about this number four seed. Clemson, USC, TCU, and the Ohio State Michigan loser. Is that right, Bri? It's really just those four teams. If LSU beat Georgia, then you'd have to talk about them. But Clemson, USC, TCU, and the Ohio State Michigan loser.
Yeah.
Is that right?
So if
USC is a big if, but if USC, TCU win out, you think they're in?
Not USC.
Really? Not USC?
Right? Am I right?
Well, they have Notre Dame, which could be a decent win.
Tough stretch, right? I mean, well,
Notre Dame and then what? Maybe Oregon and the Pac-12? Like, that's what it would be, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's...
I wonder if that would be enough.
That could be. I mean, the way Notre Dame's playing, right? Notre Dame having the big win over Clemson. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I think it depends. Like if Michigan lost or Ohio State lost in overtime,
right?
Then it gets very tricky.
Right. All right. So we'll go over that game tomorrow.
I will say USC would probably be the most fun team in there, right? Probably.
Sure. Yeah. I think that would be great.
Score.
It would be.
Yeah.
That'd be a fun game for sure. I mean, USC, Ohio State, who wouldn't want to watch that, right? Yeah. If they could somehow manage that, but they wouldn't get a three, though.
I think that's where you might want to consider, son. You might be getting to us talking about this is Williams winning this.
So let's do it. So what was he, Parley Kid, before this week? Because now he's second in line because Hendon Hooker drops out. And actually, Blake Corum drops further because he got hurt in that game.
It's a two-player race right now, I think, between...
Yeah, so Stroud's -125 and Caleb Williams is +125. Bri, what was he, Caleb Williams, for this week? I mean, he put up 1 million points against UCLA. Was he like 10-1 or not?
I think he was less, right? Was he 7? Was he 5-7?
All right.
There's a good chance Williams is going to keep putting up good. Can't you see Stroud just not having a great game against Michigan, even if they win?
Uh-huh.
Stroud could put up another like average game. Williams puts up. And then a big game, and then all of a sudden he's the favorite, but and within a week span, you know.
Yeah. Well, what's the Notre Dame USC line?
Five. Notre Dame, I think it's 5. USC's favorite.
Right.
So, I don't know. I think Spaghetti's dropped off. I wanted his thoughts on that. We'll talk about. But all right, let's. I mean, that'll be a fun one. What do you have? Over 400 yards? You had 470.
Yeah. Jeez. He threw some interceptions late too. So. Mm-hmm. I think the Notre Dame game is going to be a close game.
That'll be a great one. We'll go over that tomorrow. We'll go over obviously Ohio State, Michigan, and a bunch of the Thursday games, obviously, in the NFL and some others. I don't know. Boy, I'm glad I didn't bet Tennessee to make the playoffs the way that jumped around that line. That was insane. So that's it. Still 1-0. Was it halftime here?
Yeah.
I guess 1-0 at half. I'm watching commercials here. I was at, we'll get off in a second here, but I was at a bar. Is there anything worse than and I called ahead. I'm on the road here. I'm in Oregon. I called ahead. I wanted to watch at a sports bar and I call ahead. They're like, we get all the games. Come down. I'm like, okay, great. We're in, I figure people are rooting for Seattle and probably the 49ers here. So I should get lucky because Seattle is on a bye and the 49ers played Monday night. I'm like, it should be nice and easy. I won't have any. I get in there, wall to wall Bills gear, Harry. So it was like I was in college again in upstate New York. It's a Bills bar. The only game, they have 10 TVs, but every TV is married to the other one. And it's like, oh no, if we change that, the other 7 TVs change. I'm like, who set this up? Why is it? Just get one big screen then if you're going to do that. Why are you getting like 7 $500 screens if you can get like a giant screen. What are you doing? And then, but somehow they were able to get Red Zone on one screen. So I'm like frantically going between my phone and the Red Zone and everything else. And so that was it. But anyway, yeah, please stop with the married TVs. I'm all for marriage and same sex and same TV marriage, but they don't need to have one have to do with the other. You're ruining your sports bars, everyone out there. Mm. Right, Harry?
No doubt about it.
did you go watch Qatar and Ecuador with Brett Coromanos yesterday morning?
I didn't. Yes, we had a little emergency at Ken's house, so I had to check into.
Let's hear it.
I couldn't tear away from that, but I'm going to hit him up. But I did watch a little bit of the Magic contest.
Emergency.
The Magic?
What is it? That was a little emergency.
So I got a better question. We should solve it now. Why is Harry saying he might not have access to TV, like in Utah?
Is that like a Mormon thing,
I
Harry?
Said like but, on yeah. Thursday. No, like he's Mormon and they don't watch sports. So I'm banking on that there may not be television on while I'm there over Thanksgiving. So I don't know.
So guys, if that's the case, you don't go, right? If you don't go.
I couldn't go with the Cowboy with my favorite team playing.
You're back out of Thanksgiving. If somebody told you you're not going to be able to watch
the game. Harry's favorite team is playing that night too.
I should be
back to the hotel though, Brian, for the Vikings.
We're in sports media. That's tough. That's tough to miss that. That really is. He doesn't have his TVs married to each other over there. He doesn't. That's what he's got going. All right. That'll do it. Tomorrow we'll be back. We have one more episode of Against All Odds. Tomorrow we're going to go over, like I said, the three Thursday games. We're going to go over Ohio State, Michigan. We'll do USC, Notre Dame. And then there's a couple other good ones. I think Tennessee, Cincinnati's good, and Green Bay, Philly. And then we'll get out of there. We'll have a pick for you. For England and the United States. Wow, this U.S. juggernaut up 1-0 at half. And so that'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds. For Spaghetti, for Meatballs, for Babyface Joel Solomon, and the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na